Welcome, everyone, to episode 186 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to talk about a lot of dysfunction going on across the NBA. We're going to start with the Wizards, hit on some Sixers stuff, talk about the Cavaliers, and finish up with the Kings. Before all that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so you can check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. If you are subscribed through our RSS feed, everything should be coming through as usual, but just double check to make sure that you're still getting all of our latest episodes. Joining me, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
Brian, it's going really great because I did not have to contact my lawyer today and have him contact my place of employment.
Yeah, great. I see this report come out. I'm at like running errands because my in-laws are coming in town later today, and the first thing I think, because I know we're going to record this episode, is literally last episode Morten said we can't talk about the Sixers or Markel Fultz for 5 more episodes, and then naturally we're going to have to talk about Markel Fultz today, which is just great. Really, how I want. I'm so thankful for this opportunity.
Yep.
We'll get there, but let's start with the Washington Wizards because,
oh boy,
wow, it was just like, yeah, one report after the other started coming out yesterday. Okay, and you know, we talked about them a couple weeks ago. They got off to a miserable start. We figured dysfunction would begin to spill over at some point. It spilled over in the past few days. According to Shams Charania of The Athletic, the Wizards had a volatile practice within recent days, with verbal altercations among players and exasperated Bradley Beal saying toward team officials, "I've been dealing with this for 7 years."
And not in those words.
Right. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN added some details. He said the Wizards fined John Wall for unloading a verbal barrage at head coach Scott Brooks in a recent practice. Apparently, after Jeff Green and Brooks pushed Wall and the Wizards teammates to raise the level of intensity in a practice last week, Wall fired back with "F you" toward Brooks. So, That all seems to be going great. And even before all of this stuff came out, Woj had a report earlier that day that said, as the Wizards season spirals, the franchise is making every player on its roster, including Wall and Beal, available to discuss in trade scenarios. Apparently, Wall and Beal were held out of conversation, you know, as the Wizards inquired about Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler this past summer. Now they realize this thing's just rotten to the core. So, Mort.
Now they realize.
Yeah, right. So, like, how, if you're the Wizards, if you're Ernie Grunfeld, what do you do here? Like, how do you even begin to start digging out from this mess?
Well, no, actually, I'm going to take it from a different perspective. I'm not going to take it from Ernie Grunfeld's perspective, because okay, he should be out too. I think the entire organization should just be bottomed out. Yeah. Everyone gone. Grunfeld, Brooks, Wall, yeah, maybe not Beal. Beal is one of those foundational pieces. I like Beal. Mm-hmm. Porter, whatever. I mean, just bottom the hell out, get draft picks, and start fresh. Look, there's no established culture. There is no structure in regards to anything. I mean, Bradley Beal said it well. "I've been dealing with this for 7 years.
Yeah.
Look at that quote again. And the most amazing thing here is, you know who's not being brought up in these articles? Dwight Howard.
I know. It's amazing.
Hashtag the peacekeeper, apparently.
Right, like Jeff Green is the one who's involved with these altercations. What?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just a new episode of the Twilight Zone, really. I mean, yeah, Dwight being the peacekeeper in some sort. No, but look, what they need to do is, it's so easier said than done, Brian. Mm-hmm. That's really the part of it. You know, you can always go, oh, you know what? You should do what Steve Nash did and what Kevin Garnett did, like build an infrastructure as a player. But you know what? It's damn hard to find those players. It's virtually impossible because those guys have long been identified. They're under long-term contracts and in different organizations. You can't just trade for them. They need to play the draft, and they need to do so for like 5 or 6 years just to reestablish himself as a respectable franchise. Right now, they have nothing going for him. if they bottom out now, trade everyone, and they don't end up firing Ernie Grunfeld, or they actually should fire him right now, then I suspect that the Washington Wizards will be right back where they are right now in another 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as you alluded to, Fred Katz of The Athletic shared even more from that quote, and Beal said, "I've been dealing with it ish for 7 years. It starts top down," which seems right to be a direct shot at Ernie Grunfeld. And, you know, I mean, maybe even the owner, who knows? You know, like, it goes back to what we've said about just bad organizations in general. It does start top down. It does start with the front office and the ownership. And then, you know, you can have as many good players as you want, but if the front office has no faith in the coach, if the owner has no faith in the front office, it's going to rot eventually, as it clearly has here. Now, as you alluded to, look, they've got three guys on massive contracts. They have John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter. There are multiple complications with trading John Wall. He signed, you know, that gigantic four-year, $170 million Supermax that kicks in next season.
yeah, next season.
Right. I know, they're not even in the midst of it, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
Zach Lowe of ESPN has detailed some of the complications. Basically, they would have to pay a gigantic trade kicker if he got dealt this year. So it's most likely not going to happen this year.
A 15% trade kicker?
Yeah, which is, so he makes $19.2 million this year. He's a 15% trade kicker. And yeah, I mean, I think it's something like they would have to end up paying $21 million or something like that because of the extension kicking in. So Wall, and there aren't that many teams that need point guards, as we've discussed. It's like Phoenix, Orlando, maybe the Knicks, if they could talk themselves into, but I don't think the Knicks make that move until they, you know, they're already eyeing Kevin Durant. So I don't think there are that many plausible landing spots for Wall this season. And as we said before, I mean, that's a scary contract given all the drama that's been around Wall's team and, you know, his knee injuries, his age. Like, I don't know if you want to be paying that guy $45 million at the end of that deal.
So, 47.
Woof. So it feels like Beal is he has the highest trade value of the three.
Yes.
But as you said, he's probably the one guy you want to keep. So so what do you do then? Do you like just try to salary dump Porter?
I mean, that wouldn't take you anywhere, even if you did that.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't really solve the problem, does it? Here's what I think is the situation. And look, Wizards fans are going to be so depressed hearing this. But let's just call it like it is. So you are going to take a loss by trading John Wall. You may actually you have to attach draft picks to that contract, which sounds absurd because it's John freaking Wall.
Or just take back really bad contracts in exchange, which you would, after this season, you'd have to do anyway just because his salary is so gigantic.
Right. But even then, those deals might not even be there.
Right.
So here's the thing. If you have to give up draft picks to get out of John Wall's deal, right? Then you have to regain those draft picks in the Bradley Beal trade. So if Wizards fans are sitting there thinking, oh, we might be able to get two draft picks for Wall and then two draft picks for Bradley Beal. Right. No, that's not how it's going to work. Definitely not. You are not going to get multiple first-round draft picks for John Wall.
Yeah.
It's just not happening. I don't think there's a single franchise, and I'm including Bloody Device in this. I don't think there's a single franchise out there going, you know what? That John Wall guy, look, he's in a physical decline. He's 28. He's got $170 million coming to him. And there's a 15% trade kicker. I'm all in, baby.
Right. Yeah. I feel like Wall, I mean, I've said this before, I feel like Wall is the problem here, but I also think he's the least tradable of the three. So it feels like the Wizards are just stuck until they can get out of that deal, which, again, I don't think happens until probably next July at the earliest. Once teams, as we've alluded to before, there are a lot more teams with max cap space than there will be guys who deserve max deals. So next summer, once Jimmy and Kawhi and Clay and KD all make their decisions, there's going to be some teams out there. They're like, uh-oh. like the Bulls. Uh-oh. We've been planning for the summer of 2019. And we have $40 million of cap space and no one to spend it on unless we want to max out Tobias Harris. So, not saying that...
rather that than trade for Beal. Wall.
Yeah, I know. But that there's going to be some team out there that's saying, well, we went it. You know, we've been promising we were going to make a big move this summer. We have nothing to show for it. John Wall, you know, is a five-time All-Star. He has that cachet, even though people would, you know, people who've been paying attention would be like, oh, God, that's a terrible idea. Don't do not trade for him. But I think you're right you're not getting you're not getting multiple draft picks for him, or they shouldn't. And I think they will have to take back a bad contract or two. Really, just for salary matching purposes, if nothing else. But I mean, they're just in such a bad spot. Like, even if you trade Beal, you're just getting that much worse. The guys you get in the draft, you know, if you get a couple draft picks for him, or if you get a young prospect, you're not going to be any better. But you're still not going to be bad enough. Well, I don't know. They're pretty terrible right now. Maybe you will get a top three pick, but. You know, it just feels like they're in an even worse spot than a team that just, like the 2013-14 Sixers. They're just like, screw it, we have no talent, we're just going, we're tanking for multiple years. Like, I'd rather be in that spot than where the Wizards are, where it's like, really, your only hope is to either trade Bradley Beal or just wait for these contracts to expire or pray to God that you can get out of these massive deals somehow. But, like, I don't think Otto Porter has significant trade value, do you?
Well, no, not in regards to a talent upgrade.
Right.
I've been pimping this idea for a while. I've been saying Jabari Parker for Otto Porter.
Yeah.
Simply because, and again, that's not, like, Jabari Parker by, you know, the real plus minus stat is actually the worst player in the league right now.
Right.
But it's because of his contract. Solely because of his contract. Yeah. Like, they can cut him for all I care afterwards.
Right.
It's because it's a team option.
Yeah.
Like, he's effectively an expiring contract. You can get him in, you can get him out, and then you can just shed that, you know, salary.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? You know, Porter's looking at, I think, $27 million next year.
Yeah.
That's a huge chunk off that cap, which does give them some sort of flexibility moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they look at it that way. I don't think they look at Porter as, oh, we need to salary dump him.
Right.
I think they look at it like, we want an expiring contract and a draft pick and a young player. Or some variation of this, which, you know, it does make sense because Porter is a versatile 3-4,
right?
Who even in a pinch can, you know, play two guard, which is pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has that versatility. I'm not advocating you should play him at two guard. I'm just saying in a pinch you could. Meaning he's flexible. You know, he can do a lot of things. He's one of the best jump shooters in the NBA. He's just not proven this year, but, you know, his track record speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
His defense might be a little bit overhyped, but it's not bad.
Right.
He's wonderful in transition. He would improve any team that he goes to drastically, in my opinion, because right now he's just, I think he's mentally checked out, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
So I think there are teams out there that could get a really solid starter for very cheap, depending on how they play Washington. They need to play them a little bit and go, you know what, you're not getting a draft pick. You're not getting a young player.
Right.
You know, you're getting an expiring contract, and then you get the flexibility. Maybe, if you really play hardball, we'll throw in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
Here, take a second. Maybe 2 seconds. Why not? But, what I want to return to Wall for a second, because I have a question for you. Do we agree? You mentioned the word stuck. Do we agree whoever ends up with John Wall, be that Washington or somebody else, wherever John Wall is playing, because of his contract, that team, in some capacity, is going to be stuck?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, can we now give him a new nickname that is Hot Potato?
It's like, I don't know. So, there's a new Mario Party that just came out. And there's one of the mini games is like a hot potato just with bob-ombs, where you just pass the little bob-omb, right, and then you have to throw it right before it explodes.
Nice.
That's John Wall. That's John Wall.
That is John Wall. Oh, God, we found it. Yeah. Dear NBA Twitter, go spread the word. Hot potato is John Wall's new nickname. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to, before we move on from the Wizards, friend of the podcast, Nikias Duncan, actually wrote something recently, I think right before the Jimmy Butler trade. He actually suggested the Heat should be in on the John Wall. Maybe go for, like, some... I think he pitched, like... I think it was Dragic, Whiteside, a pick for Wall and Mahinmi. I could be wrong. It may have been some other salary filler, but the idea was flip Dragic for Wall because you're still keeping point guards or giving each team a point guard.
Right.
And then the Wizards can get out of the Mahinmi deal. I'll double check. But what do you think about that idea? Because, like, you know, clearly we've talked about Miami and how they're also kind of stuck after giving out all those big four-year deals. Do you think that's...
Now they'll be even more stuck.
So do you think it's worth the gamble, though? Especially, again, given they're not going to have cap space. They can't get a star any other way.
But, like, what's the upside there? I love Nikias, but what's the upside?
Just having that first star, in theory, and getting it away from Whiteside.
Well, I mean, yeah, I get that, but Whiteside's been better this year. He at least seems like he gives a... something.
Right. That's true.
But I mean, look, the Miami's problem is very much similar to, you know, Charlotte's and Washington's in that, you know, they just have a clock cap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all about the flexibility, really. And if you then trade for John Wall, like, he's going to clock the cap up so much. Like, okay. Look, he's going to earn $42.5 million on average during that extension. And then you have the trade kicker. And here's the thing. A player can waive the trade kicker. But why would he?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's in that dollar amount. So theoretically, John Wall has a no trade clause.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I had the deal wrong. That Nikias pitched. It was Wall and Mahinmi for Dragic, Winslow, and Deion Waiters.
Oh, that's a little better.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, you kind of need Whiteside if you're going to pair him with Wall.
Right.
At least.
Right.
Yeah.
And you get a Deion Waiters contract, which is also bloated and the ankle stuff.
Much like Deion, apparently, if the last photo we saw of him is accurate. Right. Very bloated. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But
it's just good. It's going to be such a this Wizard situation is not going to get better. I don't think I'd be surprised if anything happens before December 15th. Frankly, which will we're just going to continue saying that date over and over through the next month because that's when a lot of the guys who signed as free agents this summer become eligible to be traded. So
right,
I mean, this Wizard situation may get worse before it gets better, but. At this rate, given how dysfunctional the system or the team has become, the organization has become, I would be very surprised if all three of Wall, Beal, and Porter are on the Wizards by the end of the 2018-19 season.
I would agree. But before we wrap this up, you know, with for Washington's sake, I'm really interested in this. Bradley Beal, obviously, you know, you and I agree, he's the big get.
Yeah.
So if he's available and everything indicates that that is certainly the case...
Mm-hmm.
Who out there should go after him? Like, we have a thread on Twitter with a lot of great writers and people, and one of the names brought up was New Orleans in some capacity.
Yeah.
I love that idea. I don't know how they... Yeah, right? But just the theoretical, you know, addition of Bradley Beal to at least the main core. Like, I know you have to give up something of value, obviously, especially first-round picks. But, man, I mean, that would change so much.
Yeah, if they could make it work, I just don't know how they could. But
like three first-round draft picks and then, you know, a salary filler.
Yeah, like Solomon Hill. But I just don't even know if they have the salary filler for it. But I guess if they – because you would I feel like you would have to break up without having looked very closely at this. But I think you would almost have to include Nico, which defeats the purpose. Because I think the whole idea would be to keep Holiday, Beal, and then the Davis, Nico, Randall front court. And then your wing rotation is even worse than it was before, which speaks volumes, but that's a sacrifice you make.
Right.
Yeah, the one I saw... Yeah,
Solomon Hill and each one more is 21 million.
Oh, so that gets you there?
Yeah, because Beal is 25.
Good lord. They would have just literally zero wings left.
That is true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you'd have an absolute insane starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, that's a gamble you make. If Washington's really willing to sell that low, I think you have to do it. The one I saw someone mention was Charlotte, which I think is also interesting, especially
right
if you're trying to tempt Kemba into staying there beyond this year, and you're trying to tell him, hey, you don't have to score 50 points every game for us to win. Kemba Beal would be dirty.
Oh, yeah. Kemba, by the way, he's leading the league in scoring right now.
He's outrageous.
And he is. Yeah. And, I mean, he's interested in sticking around. Michael wants to keep him around. So, yeah, I mean, this would just put it over the top. If they somehow acquire, you know, Bradley Beal,
mm-hmm.
I think that's an immediate lock for Kemba this summer then.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the three, I feel like Beal is the most likely to go just because I think that is the one guy who they can get something for, something of real right. value for. Whereas, you know, Porter's a good player, but just on that contract, you're not going to get as much for him. And then Wall, as we've discussed, is like, that right. you just know you're just signing up to go on the Titanic if you trade for John Wall.
Oh, it's really such a tough situation because the problem is, you know, ultimately John Wall,
mm-hmm.
and you can't move him. So, you know, you might be right that it's all about them just waiting it out, but they would have to wait an additional 4 seasons. This season barely just begun, so it's 5 seasons
yeah.
in total. Yeah, totally. So, oh, what a mess. What a mess.
Well, speaking of messes, Mort, we're going to break we're gonna break your rule. We're going to talk about the Sixers briefly.
Then after this time, not for 5 episodes.
At this rate, who knows? Like, at this rate, Jimmy Butler's going to get his foot sawed off in, like, some roller coaster accident next week, and we're going to have to talk about that, too. But, so, on Tuesday, David Aldridge of The Athletic sends a tweet. At the direction of his attorney, Raymond Brothers, Markel Fultz is scheduled to see a shoulder specialist early next week. Per Brothers, Fultz will not participate in team practices or games until after the specialist has had a chance to evaluate him. This comes one night after Brett Brown effectively benched Fultz for TJ McConnell in a game against the Phoenix Suns. Fultz played 7 minutes. Brown put TJ in to give the team a spark. He did so. They ended up winning that game. As of a few weeks ago, a reporter had asked Fultz if his shoulder was healthy, and he said, yeah, man, like, you know, I'm not 100% because it's just the NBA season and that's how it is, but, like, nothing wrong. Elton Brand, their general manager, today said there was nothing medically that they saw that would keep him off the court. But he's out for at least a week, and we'll find out more details after he meets with the specialist. So, I don't want to speculate about what's going on with the shoulder, whether it is a shoulder issue. Like, this, we've had the same conversation ad nauseum for over a year now.
Yeah.
At this point, I do think it's fair to ask, though, do you think there is hope still for Markel Fultz in Philadelphia? Or do you think it's time for the Sixers? Like, look, they already lost that trade, right? Like, the Jason Tatum and then the Kings' top one protected pick. I know the Kings are friskier than expected this year, but wherever that pick lands up, it's
right.
It, you know, that's over and done with. So that's a sunk cost at this point. Do you think the Sixers just need to suck it up and say, look, it's just not going to happen for Fultz here. We need to jump ship while we can and potentially get something of value for him? Or do you think it's wise to just be patient and see if this kid can just get whatever is plaguing him, whether physical or mental or both, straightened out?
I think it depends on his trade value.
Yeah.
I mean, it really boils down to that. If there's a team out there that's willing to give up something of significance,
mm-hmm.
even if it's an unprotected first-round draft pick that is a couple of years away,
yeah,
do it. I know that it might suck if he blows up somewhere else, but you need to play the security level right now. Mm-hmm. You have Jimmy Butler. You have Joel Embiid. You have Ben Simmons. Play it safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really sucks because I want nothing but the best for the kid, but...
Right.
At this point, it's just so... It's, like, so rapidly spiraling out of control. And that, like, just... I mean, the problem is, even if he gets traded, I don't know that it gets better for him. Like, I think it's... He's in a very... One of the worst media markets for him, for an athlete, mm-hmm. with these type of weird, inexplicable struggles, because just... Philly sports people are nuts and we obsess over everything, and you know,
yes you do.
So the beat writers, understandably, it's like they have a job to do. I get, you know, I remember when JJ Redick got really pissed one day when they were like filming Fultz shooting during practice, right. last year, and he got really pissed and defensive. It was like, just leave him alone, he's a 19-year-old kid, which I get. Like, that's how I feel about him too. But at the same time, like, these beat writers have a job to do, and this is just going to continue. I don't know how long, like, until he either gets traded or starts shooting normally and stops having weird shoulder issues. So, like, I don't know where he could get traded to. It would have to be like a small media market where just no one cares about basketball, basically.
I have an idea. I have an idea.
Okay.
Wilson Chandler, Markelle Fultz, Mike Muscala, and a first-round draft pick to Washington for Bradley Beal.
I mean, a lot of Sixers fans have been pitching ways to get Bradley Beal. I think mm-hmm. if you could use Fultz to get Beal at this point, you almost have to do it.
Almost? No. Get the almost out of your head.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What? At this point,
yeah.
Brian, come on. Look at the numbers as well. Look.
Oh, I know. Now, I know.
His free throw stroke is changing by the game.
I know.
Now you just have to, you know, make something out of it.
Yeah, no, it's my hesitation there is more for giving up Chandler too, because I would just leave them thin on the wing. But
it's for Bradley Beal.
I know. I mean, I would be very surprised if they're not at least silently shopping him. But that's my question mm-hmm. too. Like, what do you think his trade value is? Like, is there any team that's, having seen this past year and a half, is there any team that's going to like sign up and be like, yeah, that sounds great, we totally want to take that on?
No, look, the trade I just proposed is just under the assumption that he has trade value.
Right.
Look, realistically, I don't think that holds any water.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if Markelle Fultz is one of the least tradable players in the NBA right now, because not only is he earning $8.3 million, which is a significant chunk of change, mm-hmm. you know, because of the new rookie scale contract, but he's also locked up for almost $10 million the next season.
Right.
That's a big financial commitment, however you want to slice it.
Yeah.
And it's all a gamble. It's essentially $18 million worth of gamble.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and again, it goes back to, I don't know which teams, there aren't many teams that need a point guard. So I feel like there's probably something workable with Phoenix. Like, if Phoenix doesn't want to go the John Wall route, there's
right.
like, they just have a bunch of those middle of the road contracts where you could like probably finagle a deal. I don't know what you can, like, would they do like TJ Warren for Markelle Fultz straight up?
I mean, TJ is interesting because he doesn't really have a place in Phoenix. He's right. playing well, don't get me wrong, but when they're going to make their push to become better, mm-hmm. he seems to be the odd man out, right?
Right.
Because, yeah, I don't know. They might use him as some sort of super sub who can come in and score 15, 16 points a game. Mm-hmm. But if he's the one preventing someone from you know, from them getting a star, then no. Thing is, Markelle Fultz isn't a star.
Right.
We barely know what he is. He's played 33 career games.
Yeah.
We have no idea. He's played 680 NBA minutes.
Yeah.
And everything we've seen in those 680 minutes has been weird.
Right. I mean, honestly, at this point, like, if you're Philly, Phoenix calls you up, Mikal Bridges and Dragan Bender for Markelle Fultz.
Oh my god, so quick.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, it sucks, but like, I think it's going to be tough, because if they do trade Fultz, it's going to be tough reconciling this was the number one pick a year ago, and that's all we got for him. But look back to Jahlil Okafor. Like, the second you get drafted, where you got drafted becomes irrelevant. Look at Dragan Bender. He was the number four overall pick a couple years ago. He got his team option declined. He could be out of the league very soon.
Like, will be. Yeah. Probably.
Draft status doesn't matter after you get drafted. The only thing it matters for is determining your salary for your rookie scale contract.
And fans' emotional investment.
Right.
That's honestly it. Yeah, you're right. It's like buying a Lamborghini, which I have obviously so very much experience in.
Sure.
Right. As soon as you leave the parking lot, right?
Yeah.
Boom.
Right. The value is just gone. It's a weird situation, man. I mean, look, again, I don't know what's going on. No one does, clearly, aside from hopefully Markelle and maybe this shoulder specialist that he sees. Mm. Also, why wait till early next week? Like, can't we? Dude's making $10 million, or he's about to make $10 million. Can't we get a little expedited? I guess it's Thanksgiving, but it's just so weird. But, I mean,
right
from Philly's angle, I think Brett Brown is right. Like, as weird as it is to say, being without the number one overall pick in 2017 is not a gigantic loss for them, because they do have TJ. Nope. And Fultz, he was showing improvement in terms of, like, his aggressiveness, his defense. The shot still isn't there. They still have, like, you know, opponents have no reason to respect it, and they don't. They're just openly daring him to shoot. So, in the short term, especially, you know, we've said multiple times, the Sixers have a pretty easy schedule throughout the rest of November, even heading into December. I think they have a couple games coming up against the Wizards, so they can get some Bradley Beal scouting in before, I think it was before December 15th, which is great. It's just weird. I'm rooting for the kid, not only just as a Philly person, but, you know, as someone who wants to see talent succeed in the NBA. But this is the first time where my faith is really shaken in thinking that, like, you know, up until now, I thought, look, this has all been weird, but, like, we waited 2 years for Embiid, and look how that turned out. We waited a year for Simmons. Look at how that turned out. Even Nerlens, like, he was really good until we got 17 other big men. Look at how that turned out. The wait is often worth it for these guys, but in Fultz's case, it just feels like it's gotten past the point of parody, where it's just so strange that I'm starting to struggle to imagine a scenario in which he even comes close to living up to what he was coming to the draft, which sucks. I just hate it.
Fultz might also be expendable even if he becomes like a decent player. Here's why. So you have Landry Shamet, who is more or less like the Redick clone.
Yeah.
Next year you'll have Zaire Smith, also a two guard, but you know who's had great success running a two guard system? The Denver Nuggets. Mm. Because they've had multiple playmakers on the court. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons can handle that rock.
True.
Jimmy Butler can handle that rock.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Butler, remember, he fancies himself a point guard.
Right.
So that's not a problem. Even Joel Embiid can handle the basketball. So now you have but compared to other centers named Nikola Jokic.
Right.
Right. He can, you know, he can actually take some duties off there.
Yeah.
But I don't see why you can't run with that lineup moving forward. Mm. You know, then you'll have some more shooting. You know, Zaire Smith probably over the course of this year off will take a step forward shooting wise, I could imagine.
One would hope.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are still optimists to find in Philly, and if you look at it and you go, you know what, that roster is fine, that's something we move forward with, then you just take the best you can get for Fultz and move on. Yeah. Just psychologically as well.
Right.
Just that cloud that's hanging over you, it's almost a win in and of itself if he's moved.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said there. I think it's just, it's a really unfortunate situation, but they have to just treat it like a sunk cost and either
right
move him, or like at this point, like, if they're not going to trade him, I mean, they can't do it without his blessing because it would be a violation of HIPAA. But, like, they really need to just give a full explanation of what's going on because it all just feels like BS. So, like,
oh yeah,
they just need to be forthcoming. I thought it was a good step today, and this speaks volumes about this organization. It was a good step that this news came out, and Brett Brown and Elton Brand immediately met with reporters to discuss it. Because that wasn't the case in either the Hinkie or the Colangelo eras. They would just go hide and leave Brett to field questions he wasn't equipped to answer. So it's like, kudos to Elton Brand for knowing this situation could spiral out of control very quickly and fielding questions on it. You know, and he, he was basically just like, I don't know what's going on, but whatever's best for Markel is best for Markel. We're just going to move forward.
Yeah, I like Dalton.
I do too. All right, let's stay with even more dysfunction. We're going to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, he wrote a column about LeBron's going back to Cleveland for the first time Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a column kind of about where the Cavs stand since LeBron has left, and like Larry Nance is happy because he's a kid from Akron, he's back home, he signed an extension, la-di-da. George Hill is whatever because he's still getting paid a lot of money, he got to go to the finals, that's great. J.R. Smith is pissed. J.R. Smith wants out. We mentioned that a little, you know, earlier in the season that he requested a trade. It's escalated to the point where now he is no longer with the team, according to Joe Vardon of, where does he even work for? At The Athletic, too. Everyone works for The Athletic. Just always assume everyone works for The Athletic.
Just not us.
Right. Right.
Hand. Yeah. Hand.
So, yeah, he will no longer be actively with the Cavs, according to Vardon. He is working with the team to trade him, and in the meantime, he will work out on his own. How quickly do you think we're going to get J.R. Smith for Markelle Fultz, who says no tweets?
Oh, God. Look, remember what I said when we talked about Melo, that I don't understand why we should talk about, you know, fringe NBA players?
Right, right.
If there's ever a fringe NBA player without LeBron James, yeah, it's J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be honest with you up front. I don't care.
Well, here's what I think is weird. Because, you know, Lloyd has discussed, like, well, he could just take a buyout and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
So here was Smith's comment in regard to that. I don't want my legacy to be remembered like that in Cleveland, Smith said of a buyout. I don't think that's fair to the people I see every single day walking around the arena. I don't think that's fair to the trainers or equipment guys. I just look at it differently than being traded. I don't like the statement of getting bought out.
Aw, J.R. Smith thinking about his legacy. You know, his legacy, in my eyes, is that he was responsible for the death of one of his friends because he ran a stop sign. So, you know, perspective, JR.
There you go. I was going to say his NBA legacy is forgetting the score of a finals game and causing LeBron, being like the final nail in the coffin to get LeBron James to leave Cleveland.
Yeah.
It just, the whole, that quote just is total BS. I think we need to call JR out on that. Like, if you wanted out of Cleveland that badly, you would just agree to a buyout. Don't say it's, like, unfair. I don't think it's fair to the people I see every single day. No, dude, you just want your money, which I respect. Like, you signed a contract. They knew what they were getting into. You know, there's a reason that those negotiations, if I remember correctly, went into training camp or, like, right at the eve of training camp. Like, they won the title. And then LeBron was like, yo, sign JR. And they were like, we don't really want to do that because you could leave in 2 years and then we're just going to be stuck holding the bill for, you know, what he signed, like a 4-year, 50-something million dollar deal.
Way too much.
Yeah. So he's stuck in there. I mean, he's only guaranteed part of his contract next summer, effectively $3.9 million, which isn't all that much. So I do think there may be a market for J.R. Smith. What I think the Cavs will need to do is take back a bad contract, like, if the Wizards are really trying, you know...
Wait, you're saying a trade market?
I mean, I think they could get something... If they take back Ion Mahinmi, or if they take back another multi-year big contract...
Oh, okay, that regard.
Yeah. Oh, no. No team's going to want J.R. Smith.
Yeah, because I was like to say, yeah, sure, in China.
Right. No, I'm saying they could get something. They would have to take back a bad contract, a bad multi-year contract, but they could potentially get draft compensation, whereas another team would say, all right, you know, J.R. is not going to provide much value for us this year, most likely, but he's only owed $3.9 million next year. We can waive him. Free up a roster spot, free up, you know, what, almost $11 million of salary cap space that way. I think there probably will be a deal closer to the deadline in that regard.
John Wall. No, here's the thing. I mean, Cleveland, with no LeBron and all that, it's way easier just to ignore Cleveland than it is Washington. I mean, honestly, that came off really dickish. Right. That's not my intent, but it's totally true. Mm-hmm. Even Cleveland, you know, residents don't care about the Cavs when LeBron isn't there. Like, it is the most, you know, boring franchise you can ever lay your eyes on. And again, you know, to quote Joakim Noah, you know, whoever goes to vacation in Cleveland, it doesn't matter. Just dump all the bad stuff onto Cleveland for the next couple of years. That's fine. Yeah. Just make that NBA purgatory. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Get John Wall there. Get all the other bad mojo guys there. Jabari Parker in Cleveland as well. All those guys, just fine. Make it a complete cluster or something. That would be perfect.
I mean, they're not going to have the cap space to get anyone of import until 2020 at the earliest. Right. So I honestly think they should be actively pursuing deals like that, because George Hill is only owed, I mean, he's owed $19 million this season. He has an $18 million option, or it's non-guaranteed, $18 million salary. Only $1 million of that is guaranteed. So not only could they get out of Smith, they could, you know, flip Hill for the same thing. Take on a bad multi-year deal, get additional draft compensation. This is what bad teams should do. If you're a bad team and you're a rebuilding team, use your cap space as a weapon, especially as teams are trying to clear out space for this coming summer.
But that's why they're bad teams. Because they don't do it.
Yeah.
Look, again, I'm going to go back to the Jabari Parker example.
Right.
The Bulls could have used that cap space to go that route this very summer.
Right.
Instead, they thought Jabari Parker would be a bigger asset.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I mean, yeah, that's why bad teams are bad.
I know. Well, yeah, did you see Stephen Noah's column on The Athletic about that? I think it was today.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
He brought up the exact same point.
Right.
Yeah. But we talked about it all year long as well.
Right.
So, you know, it was a common theme throughout the entire summer. Like, why would you do this?
Yeah.
Just go get that first round draft pick. You know, I don't believe the Cleveland Cavs the creativity to pull it off, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's really the crux of the issue. And I think GMs are wise to that. I think GMs knows when teams are hungry for something, they're going to squeeze them for all they can.
Yeah. But, like, if I'm Cleveland, I call Orlando up and say, I'll take Timofey Mozgov, just give us a first.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Or, like, if I'm Cleveland, I call the Knicks and say, we'll take Tim Hardaway or Courtney Lee. Take your pick. We know you want to clear up two max spots next summer.
Tim Hardaway is putting up empty stats, which sells tickets, so I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
No, but, like, you're right. Your overall point, like, call up Charlotte and say, hey, you know, Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God. Charlotte says, take your pick. Marvin Williams.
Right.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Nick Batum. We'll take any of them.
Cody Seller.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you're right. The problem is Cleveland, especially, they spent the whole summer selling this bill of goods. LeBron left, but we're going to compete for a playoff spot. We just signed Kevin Love to an extension that made a lot of sense at the time. This was always going to be the case. Just go all in. Just let the vets go at this point. You're doing a disservice to them, too. Let Kyle Korver free. Let Kyle Korver play meaningful basketball again.
And let J.R. Smith not do that again. Right. Because who cares? By the way, I'm going to show my age once again. Back in Smith's rookie season, 2004-2005, also Iggy's rookie season, you would remember that. NBA Entertainment and NBA TV, I think, had this show called NBA Rooks, and where they followed specific guys. Iggy was one of them, and JR was one of them as well. And at one point, they were in a practice, and I think it was David Wesley, I think he went up to, or someone, and just like asked if shoot around was optional. And I just remember that throughout that whole show, because it was a whole series that lasted a full season. I think you had like 20 episodes or something like that. I remember just coming away with this thing that, you know, from all those rookies that that show followed, J.R. Smith was by far one of those guys you could just sense would never get it. You know what I mean? Who just always found a way to like complain about stuff or cut corners and just, you know, meh. Never really live up to his potential. Because do you remember how physically gifted he was coming into the league?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a wasted career, really, when you look at it.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, Mort. Let's wrap things up. Finishing the dysfunction theme for the day.
This is so dumb.
I love it. You know, I was saying a couple weeks ago that I was struggling to get into the NBA season. I think it's because we didn't have any truly dumb stuff happening for the first couple weeks.
Right.
Now it's just like the KD Draymond thing opened the floodgates. Now every team is doing dumb stuff. I love
drama.
It.
Drama!
Yeah. From Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. There appears to be a substantial disconnect between the Sacramento Kings front office and head coach Dave Yeager pertaining to the franchise's priorities and direction. It's win now versus development for the future. Apparently, his handling of number 2 overall pick Marvin Bagley could eventually lead to his dismissal, because the franchise is growing frustrated with how Yeager is distributing minutes and assigning roles to the team's young prospects.
Okay.
The Sacramento Kings are currently 9-8. They just beat the Oklahoma City Thunder on Monday in Russell Westbrook's return. They have wins over the Timberwolves, over the Spurs, over the Grizzlies, who have been very frisky. They beat the Thunder earlier this season, too. They also beat Washington, Miami, Orlando, Atlanta. Whoop-de-doo. But the point is, they've beaten some good teams this year. They've been far more competitive than anyone expects.
Correct.
So, of course, the Kings are going to Kangs and fire the coach that has them more competitive and playing the veterans that they signed this offseason. Because he's screwing up the draft pick that they don't have this year.
I'm getting Mike Malone flashbacks.
Right? What? Like, yeah. What are they? I saw this report come up the other day, and I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not. But it's just, it starts from the top down. Bradley Beal said it well.
Yeah. Hey, Bradley, can we borrow your quote?
Yeah, right. Can we make this our new team slogan?
Look, you know, here's what really concerns me. Mm-hmm. So you have De'Aaron Fox. You know, you and I loved this kid last year.
Yeah.
And he's really coming into his own. He's a very, very good NBA player.
Yep.
All right. But it also took him a year to really get this comfortable. Mm-hmm. Now they're apparently expecting Marvin Bagley, who's played 17 NBA games, to become something way more than he's ready to be. Like, everyone except the Kings apparently knew what Marvin Bagley was coming into the draft.
Right.
A scorer slash rebounder and not anything else. So far, you know what he's given them? Scoring and rebounding. And surprise, surprise, he's actually the team's leading shot blocker by far. That's positive.
Yeah.
And if they're sitting there going, you know, he should be playing more than 22.8 minutes, all right, fine. But don't like light the seat under Dave Yeager's ass.
Right.
Like, just, you know, have a conversation. And I'm pretty sure that Dave Yeager has a pretty firm explanation of why he wants to bring this kid along slowly, because primarily his defense is an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
look, I get the shot blocking part. That's nice. But, like, positional defense, rotation patterns, no. No, sorry. That has not been picked up yet.
Yeah.
It'll come, maybe, in time. But, I mean, he's, what, 19?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if that's your big gripe, get over yourself. Look at the NBA. There are so many worse things out there that you know, you ignore for coaches. Like, if that's your one gripe, relax. Yeah. You should have several more gripes if you're considering firing your head coach.
Right.
It's fine. It's not like he's not playing him. It's not like it's Tom Thibodeau.
Right. Right. Exactly. Here's my thing with that. If you want Marvin Bagley to start and you want Marvin Bagley to play heavy minutes, why do you sign Bielitsa this summer?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, what are you doing?
As a backup, presumably, but even though, I mean, like, he's a veteran, so of course he's going to get, you know, in the coach's favor.
Right. Yeah. And he's a really good three-point. I mean, he's shooting almost 50% from three this year.
Right.
How are you going to go into that locker room and tell the team, yeah, this guy's shooting lights out and playing far better than anyone expected, but we're going to go with the rookie because we think the rookie gives us the best chance to win? You're going to lose the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah.
I mean,
like, Bielitsa is the reason so many of these guys have, you know, floor spacing.
Right. Exactly. Like, you're starting Willie Cauley-Stein, who does not shoot threes. I mean, he shot one this year and he hit it. Congratulations. Yep. You get 1,000% for three. It's really impressive. You're starting Shumpert, which okay. I mean, he's shooting 37% from three, which is actually great, but
you're just stuck in your own mind there for a second. Like, I mean, how can I put this nicely without being a complete ass?
Right. Yeah. There is no PG word that I could use to describe starting Iman Shumpert in the year 2018. But they're doing it, and they're 9-8, so it's working out. Yeah, but
it's working.
Yeah, yeah, as you said, Bagley doesn't provide the floor spacing and is, like, I'm not saying Bielitsa is a star defensively either, but at least he's providing the offense to make up for his woes on that end.
Yes.
Bagley will get there, but, like, I can't even begin to comprehend. Like, I guess the Kings are saying, like, we had the number two overall pick, we sold him as this, like, star of our franchise. Now he's, you know, now guys like Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton and Trae Young are putting up huge numbers, and this kid's coming off the bench, and people are going to jump to conclusions. I think, are Kings fans not just excited that, like,
they're... No, they're not.
They should be. Like, Fox and Hield are both great.
Look, I mean, I guess if they are, it's because of Fox, but... Look, Kings fans, man, they're looking at Doncic and they're sighing. I mean, they are just, they feel so bad.
But that,
and I don't blame them.
That should be similar to how Fultz is now a sunk cost for the Sixers. They made their, like, they screwed up for sure. Like, they should
have. No, but this was so apparent, though.
I know, but, like, it's a sunk cost. You made your pick.
Yes, but fans are emotional. We've talked about this all the time. Fans are not logical creatures. You know that. When you are discussing the Philadelphia 76ers, you're not always entirely logical, Mr. Tabori.
That is true.
So, I mean, look, and again, you have to consider what they missed out on here.
Yeah.
They missed out on a generational talent.
Yeah.
For a one-way player.
Oh, boy. Yep. Yep. I mean, look, if you are a Kings fan, you should be excited for Fox. You should be excited for Hield. You should,
and to some extent, Cauley-Stein.
Yeah. Well, although he's a free agent after this year, so maybe pump the brakes a little bit there.
Well, for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just by the fact that, like, this has got to be one of their best starts in the past decade, right? Without, without going through it, I can't remember the last time the Kings were over 500 at this point in the season.
Nope. No, this is... God, that's sad.
Right?
That is really sad. Yeah, it is.
Let's see. They're 9-8 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they were 4-13, 17 games into the season.
Yeah.
The year before that, they were 7-10. Like,
better.
But, yeah, but, yeah. Like, I mean, they just immediately The year before that, in, what is this, 2015-16, they started 1-7.
Like, oh, great.
Yeah. I mean, this is the best start the Kings have had, at least in recent memory. So, like...
Yes.
It's...
So let's fire the coach.
Right. And you're right. It's exactly like the Mike Malone thing. Like, Boogie got... What did he even have?
Meningitis?
Right. Yeah. Something like that. And yeah, he gets sick. Because they also started really well. And then he got sick, they got on a losing streak, and they fired Mike Malone. It's so dumb. Just, all I could say
And then they hired the best coach imaginable, George Karl.
Yeah. All I could say about this entire situation is that my offer for a Kings amnesty stands. If you are a Kings fan and you want to go to another team, I will never call you a bandwagon fan. Because this franchise has put you through so much stupid stuff. No fan deserves to have to put up with this.
Golden State is in California, too.
That's true. I just looked. The last time the Kings were above 500 this late in the season, 2009-2010. They were also 9-8.
That was Bookie's... Wait a second. Was Bookie even drafted there? I don't remember. No, he was from 2010.
Yeah. That was...
So that's actually the year before.
Yeah, oh, DeMarcus Cousins is not... That was Tyreek Evans' rookie season, I think.
Oh, the 25-5. Yeah. The much-hyped 25-5.
Yep.
And then...
Yep.
All right.
So it's been almost a full decade since they've been even remotely competitive midway through November. Mm-hmm. And now they're considering firing the coach.
Allegedly, Fred Hoiberg is on the hot seat as well.
Oh, good. Why don't you just swap them? Just swap the two.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? You know. But, I mean, yeah, it's look, the NBA drama hit a little earlier than I thought it would. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd at least, you know, make it to the middle of December.
Yeah.
You know, past the 20-game mark for everyone. Here we are. Yep. 15 games in on average. Yep. Someone like that. Maybe 17.
Yep.
And... It is hitting the fan.
It really is. It should make for a really interesting trade deadline this year, if nothing else.
Oh, I will be live streaming that thing.
Yeah.
Not, unfortunately, only in Danish. Yeah. Sorry. That's... But four hours, I'm going to be sitting there. And you know what? I am in the middle of really planning that buzzer for Vogue and Shams. Mm. So we'll actually have a scoreboard for who of the two breaks more trades.
Oh, nice.
We'll have an official scoreboard, and we'll have their faces on the screen and all that. It'll be great.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Well, that...
Like a Gonzo sports show.
That is a reminder that we actually, through our new partnership with Spreaker, we do have the ability to record live podcasts, so, like, you guys can listen in while we're recording. So we're not going to abuse that. These random ramblings will still be, we'll record them and then put them out, you know, edit them together, whatever. But in situations such as, you know, like, had the Jimmy Butler trade broken this week instead of last week, we would record it live and let you guys listen in as we record. So, you know, next emergency trade podcast, the Bradley Beal trade podcast, will be live. Yeah.
Yeah, that is very much true. I don't even know if people get, like, notifications. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. It'll be fun.
We'll find out. Yeah. We'll speak to Spreaker, because you know what? I actually want to give a shout-out to Spreaker.
Yeah.
They have been so awesome to us.
Yeah.
Like, just welcoming us with open arms, been so gracious and nice and professional. We had, you know, we were asking for, like, a short Skype meeting, and we actually got almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, of just pure feedback and advice. And, oh my God, they've just been so great to work with.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Shouts to them. I think that's really a good place to end this one. So, as a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio. And you can troll me about Markelle Fultz, and I won't respond to you, and we'll probably block you. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe. Download, leave some 5-star reviews. And yes, we are now being hosted on Spreaker. Check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. And then again, just double check to make sure If you're subscribed to our RSS feed, make sure you're still subscribed. Getting our latest episodes should be available on everywhere. I think we're definitely on Spotify already. Should be on iHeartRadio shortly. Whatever Android app you use, we're there too. So, yeah, follow us everywhere. In the meantime, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. Take care, man.
And have a happy Thanksgiving to all our American listeners out there.